Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki is here. Jacob is not. Aki, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, especially now. I had to eject my system earlier, so I'm feeling great.
You're just going to drift away from the mic as the show continues.
Yeah. I'm trying that too. Everybody, I am at my grandparents' house in Nevada, so I'm using a different microphone, and it is, well, it's okay, but it's not very strong, so yeah. I have to blow the mic the entire time, and that's not something I'm used to anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a guest joining us. Jacob's not here, but we have a guest joining us instead. Oscar Gonzalez from Cool as Heck Games. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, Joe. Pleasure to be on here, obviously. Well, yes, I'm pleasure to be here. How are you doing?
It is a pleasure to have you on. I've been playing your game that you're going to be talking to us about, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. For the people who don't know who you are and what your game is, give us the elevator pitch. Who are you and why are you on our show?
Hello. Yes. So I was in this elevator and I had a gun pointed to my head and someone said, Joe, I'm Joe and I need you on my podcast. I'm like, please don't take my money. It's like, no, you'll be on my podcast. No, please. That's worse. So here I am.
That's about right. Pretty sure that's how they got me too.
I'm a game designer. I make games and stuff. I'm an independent developer, and I made this game called Wally and the Fantastic Predators. It's such a long name, and I wish I would change it to something shorter, like Really Weird Dungeons, because, oh god, I just saw the movie Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and just thought, fantastic. That's a good word. I need a title for the word fantastic.
Every time your game title,
it's bad,
dude. Go to say it's Fantastic Beasts.
Just say the word. Yeah, it's just a Wally. Everyone just calls it Wally. So you can call it that. Wally and the long game title or something.
And yes, Wally and the Fantastic Predators. What is this game?
This game is a roguelite, similar to Enter the Gungeon or Dead Cells. You enter this procedurally generated dungeon created by your best friend who wants to cheer you up after he sees that you're having a hard time with something. And throughout the game, you're the whole game, if it were a person, is, I would describe it as the weird kid in middle school who Naruto runs in between classes. There is this air of it has high confidence. That's high self-esteem. It knows what it's doing. It is a little weird and it doesn't care if you think he's weird or not, but that's just the soul of the game. And I just
living hella life and enjoying it.
Yeah. And when you finish the game, you are in absolute tears. It hits people hard. I use humor as a contrast, you know, like if 90% of the game is humor, I use that to surround the really serious stuff. And you usually get to see that at the very, very end in the true ending. And it's what gets people in. That's usually when people start writing on the reviews. And that's why we have like 97% positive reviews with 150. It's this one moment that just strikes people. And hope you get to that moment, because it's...
I'm struggling so far. I'm having a lot of fun with it, but I suck. I am getting shot by everything.
It's all good. It's not meant for everyone to see it. It's only for, you know, like, you'll see it when you're ready. And I'm okay if some people never get to see it, because it'll hit that much harder. But I can guarantee that it's something you've never seen done before in a video game.
Now I need to finish this game to find out what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily there are assists in the game. You do have some accessibility options in the game. I think you're going to get a mix of praise and grumpiness with this, because while there are accessibility options, they disabled achievements, and that's going to make people sad.
Ha, huh, get sad. That's my reaction to them. Sure, I guess you could keep the unlocks and go for all of your achievements, because I know all of you trophy hunters, you know, be like that. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was a flip of the coin. I was like, should I leave achievements on or off? I don't know. Some people would love to get a lot of gamer points and just think about their internet dick. That'll be so cool. Or I can make them work for it. Yeah, let's make them work for it. Sure, why not?
Sorry. Hey, I'm good with working for it. I know some people in our audience like their easy achievements, Carnage. But,
yeah, no worries. I know someone who makes games for Xbox, and he makes it so that you can just beat the whole game in like a few seconds and you get like maximum achievements. And it's this insanely smart way of making, like, you know, it's
my hero.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, dang, I didn't know or realize that, you know, you've made like a little niche for yourself, and that's pretty ingenious in of itself. And I didn't realize like how important achievements were to some people because of that, since I grew up without achievements. So
me too. I'm from the old days of gaming where you had to blow a cartridge to get the thing to work properly. And
you remember Channel 3?
Yes. Like, switch it or Channel 4.
I always did
Channel 4.
Oh, aren't you fucking fancy?
Oof.
With your Channel 4.
Yes, very. Achievements are an addiction, though. They're a problem.
Why are they a problem, Aki? Are you addicted?
Yes. Yes, I am. How do I use bombs in this game? I haven't figured that out yet.
Aki did this thing called the forgetting to download the game.
Yeah. I'm supposed to tell people that.
Well, you're the one asking how to use bombs when there's only like 10 buttons on a controller. Process of elimination. Maybe Jacob's not here because he's playing it too. I've been playing it. I absolutely love the game. I enjoy that you have, for the people looking for more chill experiences, you have like sword mode in the game, which I'm having a fun hacking and slashing everything in this game.
You know, that is like the most popular way of playing the game. It is hard to like make you stronger because you're already like max power, but God dang, it feels amazing to just kind of like, you know what I like to do? I just like rolling through everyone. Are you doing that right now? Yeah. You can just roll and you'll like sword automatically.
Ooh.
See, you can just beat the game with just rolling in that mode. It's pretty good.
I didn't realize that. I'm not much of a dodger in games. Like, and that's my downfall in games like this, like Gungeon. I suck at dodging. I tank it and I hope for the best. I'm a good offense.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I guess in that one, I was trying to like, honestly, if I were to redo the game, it would just be sword mode because it is just so, it is just really good fun to give someone a controller and then just have fun instantly. I could like counter it with having like insta-kill mechanics, and it would probably not be a roguelike anymore. It'd be something like Hotline Miami or something else. But that would be fun too, I think. Just something like that. Yeah, because sword mode just feels amazing in comparison to everything else.
It's just so relaxing to one-shot things and watch them go flying around a room, bumping into other things, and being able to deflect bullets is a godsend in games like this.
Such a nice, chill Zen experience. I hear all the time from my friends after they come from their, you know, back-breaking laborious jobs at the coal mine. They're like, Oscar, sometimes I just want to sit on my butt and like turn my brain off. Your game can do that, so why aren't you focusing more on this sword mode? Because it's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I know. Maybe next time. I don't know. I'm already committed into this weird amalgamation into this game. I didn't want to remove it because people loved it, so I'll just keep it there on the side.
You have a lot of different modes in the game, too. You have, like, daily challenges, weekly challenges, different sub-dungeons that you could go into. Like, how much stuff is in this game?
Oh, there's a lot, yeah. Each one is, I'm trying to appeal to a different type of player, you know, like the daily mode's obviously for the competitor players that want to just absolutely wipe the floor with everyone and show how awesome they are. The chill mode was because, you know, sometimes you just want to just have fun instantly and want to chill and relax, you know. I wanted to use the wording very carefully because it's very easy to just put easy mode, and there's so much, like, you know, negative bias to calling it that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, like I'm not playing no easy mode. I'm a man, dude. I ain't doing that, touching that. No. Give me the heart. No. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, you gotta be careful about the way you call stuff. You know, language is hella important. And I just had like little tags in the bottom to like, I don't know, I never really wanted the game to ever take itself so seriously, because it's like the Nintendo I wish existed, you know, instead of it so being corporate and, yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you could have called an easy mode baby back bitch mode for all I care, I'd still play it.
I feel so insulted if I chose that. I would never touch it. I mean, I guess I could do that, but I'm not that. Maybe in a different game, you know, one with a different identity.
That would be in like a Duke Nukem game where it's like the top difficulty is like manly. Normal.
It's just called
normal.
Everything else is separate.
Like baby back bitch mode. Oh, yeah, that's shit. That's mine. That's where I'd be playing too. So.
No worries, no worries. I'll probably be able to stay in for a few more minutes, and then I'll probably have to go somewhere really important. But yeah, let me know if you have any more questions or anything. Or yeah, no, it's all good.
Yeah, Aki, do you have any questions about the game?
No, it's pretty straightforward. You shoot stuff, and then you get to whirl around a bunch. I mean, it's
yeah, nice. It's just highly replayable. I'm having fun blowing things up. I am having even more fun with the achievements in the game, seeing what kind of weird shit that you have achievements tied to.
I got like a message from someone telling me that, oh, was it you? It was like after they saw the achievement names, they thought it was hilarious or something. Maybe it was the person that recommended me to you. I don't know.
Possibly. Because I love weird achievement names. I love weird achievement values. Like, if your achievements were valued at, like, 28 points, I'd be in love with it even more. that pisses a lot of people off. You would be surprised how many people that drives crazy. But I'm having fun blowing up walls, and I actually got the 15 treasure chest achievement.
Yeah.
I was proud of myself for getting that one.
I'm glad. Oh.
So the game is hitting Xbox later this month. What other platforms is it hitting?
It's on PlayStation 5, it's on Switch, and it's on Steam. So you should probably go and buy 10 copies. You know, it'll be such a fun prank, you know. I'll get so memed on.
What's the release date on Xbox?
The release date on Xbox is going to be December 21. So, you know, just a few weeks.
Nice. We'll be there soon. Right around the corner. What's the price tag on it?
It's probably going to be around $14.99, you know, just
that's a good price. Just a
$14.99, around the price of a 14 cookies or, you know, that's how much they charge for hugs. So that's, you know, it's pretty cheap, you know, pretty good pricing.
I'm down with it. Like I said, I'm having a good time with the game. I am proud that I beat Jacob on the daily run today. He had like 50, I had like 62, so go me.
Oh, enjoy it while you can, because on release date there will be at least two more players that will buy the game.
I think there's gonna be a lot of players. I really Who do knows? I think this one has a really cool style to it. I think the gameplay is really solid. Carnage says he's coming for us, and he's the twin stick god, so yo. But yeah, this game is really solid, and I'm looking forward to us doing the full review next week on the show. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us about the game. Is there anything else you wanted to cover before we let you go?
Thank you for having me on. You guys are such a lovely group of people. Thanks for not calling me. Thanks for like talking shit about me once I leave. You know, that's the best thing. Here we can call Jacob shit. You know, because
we're going to talk plenty of shit about Jacob. Hey, look who finally, Jesus Christ.
I overslept.
No shit.
So, Jacob, meet our guest who's leaving.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes.
Sorry. I do. I got to go soon. Love you all. Thank you.
Oh, man. Jacob, how are you doing?
You got to be kidding me. He was only on for 15 minutes?
Yeah. He said he only had so much time. I messaged you. Dead air's fun.
He's just stunned to silence, and that's amusing me. I like this.
I had things to talk about.
Well, what do you want to talk about? I mean, we're still doing a review of the game next week. I mean, I didn't expect it to be this short either. I was expecting like a half hour, 40 minutes, but he said he had stuff to do. So, you know, life comes first, and
okay,
we are like way bottom priority in life. So I'm just glad he made time to come on and chat with us. What do you think of the game?
I mean, first off, I'm exceptionally proud that I'm the first person, according to True Achievements, to get two of the achievements in the game. So, you know, hooray me. Carnage actually has the other one. So far, I'm finding it to be pretty interesting. It's really tough, though. I mean, it's a roguelike, so, you know, obviously you're going to be dying a lot. Like there's like a plot to the game that I could have sworn that like I had read on the game description thing that's not showing up yet. But at the same time, what I'm really enjoying though is like all the different powers that you can like level up with and give your little fox guy. the game's creator obviously had a lot of fun coming up with stuff. Like there's one that I don't remember what the heck it does, but it's seriously just called like
yeah.
I forget what the heck it does, but I chose it last night. But like I like how there's choices like with each, like at the end of each thing of like here's what you can do, and most of it's just like, all right, either you'll get, you know, one of three next time, or like you could choose this thing. I don't know. Like it's fun. I like, part of the thing I don't like about roguelites is that a lot of them are really difficult. And I know that there is accessibility options in this one, but I don't know whether it affects achievements. I didn't like, it said something about it, but I didn't quite understand it. Like, if like you have to turn it, if like achievements are disabled until you turn them off, or if it's you have to restart the game with the things on for it to work. But I guess I'll find out eventually.
Yes.
How do you do get into the daily stuff? Because I can't even access it.
You just do it. Go into the pit.
Oh yeah. There's a world map. That you eventually are able to access, and that's how you do it. Because there's like a daily thing and a weekly thing.
Aki forgot to download the game.
It's all right. Joe gave me a game back to review back on the 25th, and I downloaded it and just promptly forgot all about it. And then he's like, "Hey, you good to review it tonight?" And I'm like, "I don't think he gave it to me." And no, he did. So we're all doing great. And I also fucking overslept and missed the fucking review or interview.
Yeah.
I'm so good at this. So fucking good at this.
The timing was just amazing. Impeccable. He's like, "Yeah, I gotta go." And we're like, "Thank you so much for coming on."
I'm not gonna lie. I seriously, Jacob.
Oh, there he is.
He's like, "Yeah, bye." Like, I honestly thought that it was going to be like some sort of like setup, like, Jacob, we're going to fuck with Jacob. No, the guy actually had to go.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? Dude, we need to forget to lean into the microphone the whole episode. That's what she's going to do.
Very possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than her eating into the microphone like usual. So that's good.
You eat more than anyone, Jacob.
All right. Not on the show, though.
Sometimes.
Very rarely.
When you're high.
I mean,
no. First off, I do not partake in the devil's cabbage. First off, thank you very much.
I'm pretty sure it's lettuce, but Okay.
It's either one. All right. But I also, I wouldn't know Aki. All right. Unlike you, heathen. Anyway, generally, no. I don't know. The only time I can really remember eating on the show was that 420 episode, and I just ate nachos the whole time. And you just hear this like crunch, crunch, crunch in the background. Like, Jacob, do you have anything to add?
No. I love my
nachos. Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. Should we get to news? There's a lot of news. We got a lot to cover. The Game Awards happened, and oh, my God. It was such a fucking long show.
And you watched it all, you fool.
I not only watched it, I streamed it, and people hung out with me the whole time.
That's on them, though.
Yeah, that is on them. Like, that's poor life choices.
Yeah.
There was some good news that came out of it. Oh, yeah, my title still says Watch the Game Awards. I should probably change that. Dead Cells is getting a Castlevania crossover.
I'm sorry, what?
Dead Cells getting a crossover with fucking Castlevania.
Okay.
Yeah. You're doing good contributing discussion tonight, Jacob.
What the fuck?
You're just, okay.
I don't know what to do with that information. Congratulations to them. Guests said that they might only have 15 to 20 minutes with us, so no 858 poops.
Yes.
Thanks, Joe. That was good.
Best mobile game went to Marvel Snap. I have not played that. Have you played?
I don't even know what that game is.
It's a card game, isn't it? I think.
Ew.
I don't know.
I think it is. Like, that's how it's always described in news articles. Like, but people have been enjoying it. But yeah,
it's blown up, and I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know what it is. These damn kids and their Marvel Snaps and their avocado toast and their Taylor Swift saying the fuck word.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about it. Like, because I mean, this is also going to be another news item for the Game Awards, but. During it, they released Vampire Survivors to mobile, so much for getting anything done ever.
Yeah, that was literally the next.
I've already started playing it, and yeah, like honestly, I'm loving. Like, I don't know. Like, it makes me realize like how much I need that controller, and like how like how far touch controls haven't come yet. I'm still playing the shit out of it, and like I just kind of wish that there was like some way to like connect, you know, Xbox, like how your like your progress from one version of the game to this one.
Yeah, well, Valiant Hearts is getting I believe it's a sequel on mobile, or is it a port to mobile, something Valiant Hearts related. It's going to mobile. It's mobile, so it was like in one ear out the other.
Yep.
Returnal is going to PC, which is pretty cool. So PC players get to check that one out. Best fighting game went to Multiverses.
I mean, what the heck else was nominated though?
Couple other games.
Wasn't there a Street Fighter game that came out?
It's coming out next year.
Oh, okay.
Street Fighter 6, because they gave a launch date for that during the Game Awards.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Awards, best fighting.
Are you looking at the other?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what the heck they even like nominated. DFN Duel? I don't know what the hell that is.
No, it's a PlayStation-only fighter.
Okay. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R.
Okay.
The King of Fighters 15.
Yeah.
And Sifu.
Which I don't know how that was nominated for that and best action game. It's like, are you an action game or are you a fighting game? Pick one.
Because
it's more like a brawler, an action beat 'em up. I don't know. I hear it's really good. Yeah. It's on my shelf. I'll get to it. No, I won't.
No, you won't.
Hellboy Web of Word is coming to all platforms. New Hellboy game.
I'm excited about that. Like, I saw a little bit of the preview footage. It looks like you're playing the comic book.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. What I got to see,
it looked pretty good. I'm excited. Yeah,
fall into the abyss.
Yeah,
of my gaping butthole.
I completely missed that, and I am bummed because I love Hellboy.
Dopey, thank you so much for the raid. Welcome everyone who is coming in with the raid. We are chatting about the Game Awards. We just got started. Just covered the best fighting game and the Hellboy game. And then they announced best esports, a whole bunch of
Yeah, you can totally ignore that.
Yeah. Call of the Mountain is a PSVR 2 game that was announced. Post Trauma was announced. It reminded me a lot of Silent Hill The Room. It looked very fucked up and weird.
Well, that sounds cool then. I've never played that either of those games.
Speaking of the mic.
Oh, that sounds cool.
There you go.
I've never played that Silent Hill game. So
Aki, it's a mic, not a dick. You don't have to be grossed out to it. You can get close to it. All right. Chill out.
No, it's still really revolting.
Oh my lord. I love it. Viewfinder is coming to the PS5 from Thunderful, where you use photographs and paintings to jump between scenes. It looks really, really cool.
I like that when it was called Super Mario 64.
No, it's nothing actually, like that at all.
I know. I actually have no clue about it.
Terrible. Among Us is getting a new game mode out today called Hide and Seek.
Play hide and seek.
Other people, yeah. After Us is coming in the spring from Piccolo Studios and Private Division. Going to be hitting the series, the PS5 and PC. Game called Replaced. It's like a cyberpunkish HD 2D kind of game. Yeah, that's coming from Sad Cat Studios, Coat Sink, and Thunderful. That was mentioned for Xbox, Game Pass, and PC. So,
what kind of game was the game before this that you mentioned? Because I didn't recognize
After Us. One. I don't remember.
Okay, because I don't remember that one.
There, it was so hard to take notes for this show. I tried so hard, and I got so far. In the end, it doesn't even matter. I had a fall to lose it all. Anyway, best family game went to Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
After Us looks good.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, Kirby's always nice, right?
Yeah, I'm cool with Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby getting a win. I think it was a well-deserved win. And it's Kirby's 30th anniversary, so rock on. They announced Street Fighter 6 coming out June 2nd for PS4, PS5, PC, and Series X and S.
Whoop-dee-doo,
I'm not even going to bother with it. However, I've got to say, I love the look of it.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks so beautiful. Like, this may be one of the few times where I actually, like, hop in and just, like, watch people play this kind of shit, because it just looks like it's a treat for the eyes.
Yeah. Like, I want to watch some beta matches and just enjoy the visual feast.
Yeah.
But that was the pre-show. Yeah, that's
just
the pre-show. The main show opened with Al Pacino.
Doing what?
Talking for a long time. He apparently couldn't read the teleprompter, so he kind of tried to wing it, and it just went on for a while. But that doesn't matter, because the best performance went to Christopher Judge, God of War Ragnarok, and then he had like a 15-minute long speech. It seriously didn't end.
Yeah, the entire show was people not knowing when to shut the fuck up.
Accurate, very accurate. Anything, Jacob?
I mean, I've read about it afterwards, but yeah. So no.
Helpful. Supergiant Games revealed Hades 2. No dates or platforms were announced, but news on the early access release will be revealed in 2023.
People are going to love that.
Cats are fighting in the other room, so that's fun. Get to deal with that shit tonight, too. Judas was announced from Ghost Story Games. That's Ken Levine. his new studio from BioShock?
Yes, I want it. I want it so bad. It looks so cool. I want that so bad.
Yeah, I kind of figured that'd be up your alley. They showed Bayonetta Origins, which is a cel-shaded action-adventure game called Cereza and the Last Demon from Platinum Games, hitting the Switch March 17th.
I saw the trailer for that. I'm intrigued. Like, I mean, it doesn't look like a normal Bayonetta game. But, you know, I think it's got potential.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out. Comes out in March, so it's just around the corner. Hozier had a performance, and Bear McCreary was just rocking the fuck out with a hurdy-gurdy. So that was neat.
Totally. To whatever you just said.
Best debut indie went to Stray and not Vampire Survivors. So that's some grade A bullshit right there.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, everything that Stray won, someone else deserved more. it just won because haha, cat.
I don't think it won that much, though.
I think it won two different things. And
that is enough for Aki.
Neither of them, it should have won. Those sons of
bitches.
The game isn't anywhere near as good as literally anything else that was on the list for anything it was nominated for.
Did you play it?
No, I've watched people play it.
Okay.
And just, no. Like, it was against Tunic in the indie one. Tunic should have beat it easily.
Tunic was really good.
I don't think Vampire Survivor was even in that list.
No, it was.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, I know Tunic was in it, and Tunic deserved it a hell of a lot more than Stray did. Yeah. I haven't played Vampire Survivor, so I'm meh on that one.
Anyway, they showed some new Destiny stuff that I didn't care about. And then they showed off Suicide Squad, some new footage. And they confirmed that Kevin Conroy will be in the game with, I believe, his final performance as Batman.
Yeah, it's the final one.
So that, I almost teared up during that. That was touching.
So I'm going to have to go play that. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was already looking forward to the game anyway. So, I mean, that's just a bonus.
Yeah. They showed a trailer for Party Animals, which is now coming early 2023 to Xbox and Steam. The trailer for this was funny, but it confused the hell out of me. Like, they dropped F-bombs and they said shit a few times. And it's a kid game, a family friend. Like, who's the audience for this?
Kids who like to say fuck a lot. Like, so kids like me when I was a kid.
I mean, it looks great. I couldn't tell who the ad was for. I don't know. Just me, I guess. Let's see. Last of Us is hitting PC March 3rd. So that's cool.
Very nice.
Best adaptation went to Arcane League of Legends. I have not seen any of the adaptations, but I've hear a lot of good things about Arcane, so... showed off some new gameplay for Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which has a March 17th release date.
I want that so bad.
Samesies.
Oh my God, really, you're going to sing together?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. It's a duet made in heaven.
No, it's really not.
Made in hell.
There you go.
There we go.
I really hope it has an ice sister in it. I was hoping it would focus on someone else in this one and still have Cal in it, but it seems to be focusing clearly on him again. I wanted to be the Night Sister, but no, of course not, because we have to play the human like we do in every other fucking game.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little surprised that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 didn't win Best Adaptation. Oh well. I like that Uncharted got nominated.
Yeah, that was never going to win.
Yeah, no. It's like, all right, what other video game adaptation came out? All right, yeah, fine, whatever.
Cats are fighting again. Jesus, what the fuck is going on in this house?
I mean, you just said so yourself. Cats are fighting.
Why can't I just have like a week that I'm not feeling good where the cats don't piss me off? Like, Ashley and I have been taking COVID tests all week, we don't know what the hell we're dealing with right now. Like, my voice is just shot completely. So this is goddamn cats. New game from Celeste creators called Earthblade come out in 2024.
Okay.
I completely missed that one too.
Yeah. After that was a trailer for Dune Awakening, an open world survival MMO coming to PS5, PC, and Series X and S. Forspoken has a demo out now on the PS5.
What? Dune.
Then we're talking about Dune. Up.
Well, you just went right into it. Like, you didn't even, like, pause.
Is there really a need to talk about a Doom?
Dune.
Yeah.
Dune, as in the spice must flow, not Doom.
It's still an MMO. I don't care.
Yeah, all right, but my wife cares. She was like, oh, damn. Like, I might actually get into an MMO for once. Your wife
is a part of the podcast, though, so.
She so could what? Be. You want me to call her over?
Yes, let's do that. Do it.
I doubt that she'd do it, though.
Well, you can hold try. On.
Hey, Jess. Awesome.
Oh, Jesus. Look what you've done, Aki.
Yes, you want to be on the podcast and make fun of Aki? She's calling you out for liking Dune.
The MMO, but yes.
She didn't hear me, I don't think.
No.
Aww.
Called you out for liking Dune. Fuck her!
Don't like that bitch anyway.
Forspoken as a demo out on PS5. That is going to be a console exclusive until January 2025, because exclusivity is bad. Right, kids?
Exclusivity can go fuck itself.
Can't have exclusives on Xbox. That's not fair. Kojima and Sony are doing Death Stranding too. So that's happening. A lot of people excited about that one.
Yeah, so Kojima can more of his baby fix. Fucking weirdo.
And the mic.
He's a fucking weirdo. What is with him and babies?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, EA Originals has a game called Immortals of Avium from Ascendant Studios. It is a magic-based single-player first-person shooter.
Yes. Very yes. I want that.
That looked interesting.
That looked so awesome.
Best narrative went to God of War Ragnarok. Another award for them. Yep. Tekken 8 had some gameplay shown off. It was confirmed for Series X and S, PS5, and PC. And then it was a four-pack of awards where best art direction went to Elden Ring.
Oh, okay.
Best VR AR game went to Moss Book 2. I was pretty excited for them. The Moss team is really awesome. So that's congrats awesome. To
that,
them.
That's the mouse, right?
Yeah.
I am so for that then.
Oh my God. Talk into the mic.
I am. Fuck you.
You wish.
God, no, 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 never. No.
Best sim strategy game went to Mario.
Do you notice that pause though? Aki had to think about it.
The pause all will right. be gone no, in editing.
Damn it.
I have to push the shift button, and I'm playing a game at the same time, so I have to take my hand off the controller and push the shift button. So,
Are you playing a game that you have to review?
I know, I'm playing the Wall-E. Predator game. Yeah, I'm playing Wall-E.
Oh, okay.
So every time she pushes the shift button, she pushes herself away from the microphone, and she pushes the shift button again, further away from the microphone.
No, it's I keep turning my head to face the screen instead of the mic.
Proud of you.
Playing the game. Yeah, it's I'm still looking at it. And I have to hold the shift button or else you guys won't hear me because it's auto-muting.
Anyway, best sim strategy game went to Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Didn't it just come out?
Oh?
Like, how the fuck are people going to vote on it? It literally just came out.
Like a month or two prior. You know, really? God of War came out like... Didn't God of War come out after their deadline?
Apparently the deadline was actually the 18th. And it came out on the 9th. I kept hearing that the deadline was... That it either didn't fall on the deadline or it was the deadline was pushed back. but I can't find any actual information on that. So,
but God of War was really close to the end of deadline. If there's any game that should be shit on for winning after being a very new release, I would say it would be God of War, but it's a really fucking good game.
Yeah. Sparks of Hope came out back on the 20th of October.
Yeah, there you go.
That's weird. Like, I keep seeing ads like acting like it just got released like last week. Okay. Never mind then.
Best community support went to Final Fantasy 14.
Fair enough.
Then there was a Game Pass sizzle reel. Nothing of note. Nothing new. Xbox is going to be a topic of discussion for a lot of people. Like, they had zero presence at Game Awards. Like, Phil Spencer was there, and he smiled at a camera, and that was about it. Xbox's presence at the Game, like, everyone thinks it was to kind of like keep a low profile with the whole FTC. Like, we'll get to that. Games for Impact Award went to As Dusk Falls.
Okay.
Baldur's Gate 3 coming out August 2023, which is good stuff. Airship Syndicate and Digital Extremes, their new game Wayfinder, they have partnered up with Sony, and it's going to be releasing on PS4, PS5, and PC when that one's ready. There was a video on Fire Emblem Engage, the expansion pass content, and then a promo for Sky from that game company. They're the ones who made like Flower and Journey. It is getting a free concert in the game.
Hmm.
So
cool.
Whatever. Halsey performed into the Diablo 4 trailer, and that trailer looks fucking good. Like, Diablo 4 looks crazy. I can't wait for that one. It's coming out June 6th.
Okay.
Nifty.
Yep. Some more awards. Best sports and racing game went to Gran Turismo 7. Whatever. I don't think it was that good, but best multiplayer game went to Splatoon 3, which, good stuff. Best audio design went to God of War Ragnarok. Most anticipated game went to Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. And then best action game went to Bayonetta 3. That's some good stuff. Horizon Burning Shores DLC is going to be out 4/19. It's going to be set on the West Coast in good old California. So you're going to take out the Hollywood sign with like giant robot dinosaurs.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, damn right it does. Blue Protocol is a new game from Bandai Namco and Amazon Games.
That looks pretty cool.
Is that an MMO, or is that just like, what is that?
I think it was a single player game. I hope it wasn't a fucking MMO, because if so, that just killed any hope I had for it, but I think it was a single player game.
I don't know. Anyway, Remnant 2 is getting Remnant is getting sequel. It's going to be coming to Series X and S, PS5, and PC. And then a new game was announced called Transformers Reactivate. This one I am cautiously optimistic about.
Yeah, I haven't watched the trailer for it yet, but that seems to be what everyone feels like about it.
Blue Protocol.
Good Transformer games are hard to come by.
Yeah.
I mean, the Battlegrounds game that is currently out right now, I mean, it's a mobile game. Like, let's be honest. It's pretty much what it is. So like an actual, like, you know, awesome looking Transformer game is few and far between.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever played a Transformers game, so.
I mean, the War for Cybertron was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, the Cybertron games in general were pretty solid on the 360 era. I think only War for Cybertron got a re-release on current gen, or no, last gen, technically Xbox One, PS4. But that's, I think that's delisted already.
No, you're thinking of, oh shit. It was, AllSpark. There was AllSpark in the title. I forget what the hell it was.
I don't know.
Except for the Cybertron games, you can pass on them. Like
Transformers Fall of Cybertron. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Huh.
Pretty sure that's delisted. Good shit. Gotta love delisted games. Always fun. Company of Heroes 3 console edition is going to be coming in 2023. So Company of Heroes fans have that to look forward to. And then they showed off Behemoth VR for Meta Quest, which looked pretty interesting.
I mean,
monsters in VR.
I mean, sure, if you care about like the Meta platform.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm leaning more towards going with a Quest instead of PSVR 2, mainly because PSVR 2 is going to be $550, which is more expensive than a PS5.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tethered to the console.
Yeah. I mean, that right there is kind of like a no.
And if I would rather just get a true wireless headset. But anyway, Mario Brothers movie got a clip shown. I'm still not buying Chris Pratt.
I didn't see it. Like, is it like, cause like, apparently you hear his Italian.
Yeah. It's like, Woody, I'm walking over here. What are you doing? Fucking, you fucking mookie idiot. I'm smack you upside the face.
Oh, like
that. That was terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Please don't do it again.
That was Chris Pratt doing Mario. let's see what else happened. Best score in music went to Bear McCreary for God of War Ragnarok. Showed off a new game from Don't Nod and Focus called Banishers: Ghosts of New Eden. It's coming at the end of 2023 to Series PS5 and PC. I thought that one looked really cool.
I don't remember. Can you rename that for me? I'll go look it up.
Banishers: Ghosts of New Eden.
Oh, that one. Yes, that one looked cool too.
Oh, that one.
There were so many, and I forgot their names almost immediately after it was over.
Let's see. Warhammer Space Marine 2 got a new trailer coming out in 2023. There's a collector's edition available on the Focus website, and I want it so bad. Aki, what did you think of that statue?
That it was pretty bitchin'. Yeah. It was pretty bitchin'. I will admit that was pretty fucking awesome.
That statue.
Of course you do.
God damn right I do. Build Raid Upgrade. Meet Your Maker is a new game coming out April 4th to PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC, where you basically create your own dungeons and try to keep people from beating yours.
Me, that just looks like Clash of Clans, but in 3D.
I thought it looked like, what's that game in early access that's coming out where you have to run through the temple?
Try I know
Temple Run?
No, no.
I know what you're talking about, but yeah. I don't remember what.
Carnage will probably remember what it is. It looks like that mixed with Minecraft. And like the first comment I made of that one was, oh, it looks like Minecraft. Or
yeah,
like
you said 3D Minecraft immediately.
Minecraft harder or something like that. I don't know. It looks it could be cool. Depends on it's got to get a community and a player base. And I think if it does, it'll do well.
Yeah, the only question is, will it? Because that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because so many games, they come out and you're like, well, that could be cool if people go for it. And then
Something I don't think a lot of people are going to go for is Crash Team Rumble, which is a 4v4 Rumble fighter for Crash Bandicoot.
I can't say it nice enough. Fuck that.
I don't know. Like,
nobody
this
cares about
this
it.
Is how they're following up Crash 4 with this. Whatever.
I know, right?
We'll see how it does. Maybe it takes off. Maybe it'll be popular and it'll shut us up and it'll do well. Who knows? Nope.
It will never shut me up because it still looks like shit.
And also, you're physically unable to shut the fuck up. Yeah. So,
Innovation and Accessibility Award went to God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, I really wish that they would dictate what the accessibility stuff was in that.
I mean, they showed some of the stuff that they did with colors and color blindness in the preview trailer of like when they announced the nominees, where like the enemies are highlighted in red, your character's highlighted in blue. I know Sony and first party Xbox have been going like above and beyond with accessibility, with like font sizes, narrators, just everything to make games easier to get into. And it's cool to see games like that get recognized. So Lords of the Fallen got a new video. Oh, that was nifty. And then they showed a new game called Crime Boss Rocké City, which is coming March 28th to the series PS5 and PC. It stars Michael Madsen
and I'm not gonna lie.
And Danny Glover and fucking Chuck Norris.
And
I saw the trailer to it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm
I am so for that. It looks so
I wanna check it out.
I had a feeling that was going to be some sorts of like Saints Row game at the beginning, because I was just like, this seems weird just from who all's in this. This just seems weird. And then it wasn't a Saints Row game, and I was shocked.
Yeah. Anyway, some more awards. The best RPG went to Elden Ring. That's pretty okay. Cool. Players Voice Award went to Genshin Impact. It held off a fierce battle from Sonic Frontiers to take the victory.
Oh yeah, the fiercest of battles.
No, that it was down to those two. It was like two insane passionate fan bases just went apeshit trying to outdo the other, and Genshin won.
I love how when they went and said that one, they mentioned how they had to get rid of a lot of bots.
Yeah,
specific, that was the only one they mentioned that on.
Yeah, well, that was and the player's voice where people got the voice. Best independent game went to Stray. You were right. Stray did get another award.
Yeah. And I think Tunic was in that one too, and Tunic should have won.
Oh. Best action adventure game went to God of War Ragnarok. Another win for them. Best ongoing game went to Final Fantasy XIV.
Fair.
And best game direction went to Elden Ring.
Fair.
Call of Duty is getting a raid.
Yippee.
So, cool. And then Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, they started like talking, and then they showed the new character, and I just jokingly said, fucking Idris Elba is going to be in Cyberpunk. And they zoomed in, and it's fucking Idris Elba in Cyberpunk.
I am so stoked for that. I love Idris Elba.
Love it. I love it. Oh, so good. Bandai Namco From Software announced Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, coming out in 2023. I was excited about it until I saw the platforms. It's coming out for PS5, Series, PC, cool, but then it's also coming out for Xbox One and PS4, and I kind of think that they're going to hold back the new-gen versions. Like, I don't know. I think it's time we just moved on.
Probably, but maybe it's just not going to be as big of a game as we're thinking it's going to be.
Who knows? I don't know. One more world premiere was a new trailer for Final Fantasy 16, confirmed release date of June 22nd, and it will be exclusive until the end of the year. So 2024, it could hit other platforms.
But it won't.
Probably not. Let's be realistic. It'll hit Epic Games Store.
And maybe Steam, but it ain't going to hit any other.
No, it'll hit Epic, and then another year later, it'll hit Steam.
Possible.
Game of the Year. Where's your bets? Who'd you think got Game of the Year?
I was there, so I'm not.
Power Wash Simulator.
Yes, you were correct.
I knew it.
No, I honestly thought that God of War was going to take Game of the Year. It went to Elden Ring. Elden Ring got Game of the Year.
And then some crazy dude snuck up there with them.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. He got arrested for that, by the way.
Good for him.
Yep.
Ding dong. Other news from non-game awards stuff. Phil Spencer had pledged 10 years of proposed Call of Duty support to Nintendo if the merger goes through, saying Sony's welcome to the same deal. So... Yep.
It was Nintendo, and then they also clarified, I think, PC as well. Steam.
Steam, Nintendo, and maybe so. Who knows? Because the FTC is now seeking to block the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. The agency alleges that the maker of Xbox would, quote, gain control of top video game franchises, enabling it to harm competition in high-performance gaming consoles and subscription services by denying or degrading rivals' access to popular content, you know, like Final Fantasy, like Street Fighter.
I just love how the FTC is supposed to be watching out for the consumer, but instead they're watching out for...
They're watching out for Sony.
Yeah, they're only... And it's because Sony has paid them. Sony keeps putting a lot of people in their pocket.
I'm getting frustrated with it, but it seems balance. Like such a double standard where if Sony does something, it's praised. If Xbox does the same thing, it's booed. But I don't know. It's just frustrating. I hope this gets settled quickly, whether it's a purchase, the acquisition goes through, or it gets denied and it falls apart. I just hope it's quick because they're dragging this on for way too long. I don't know.
There was a game you forgot to mention.
What?
That was trailered. Armored Core 5. No, 6.
He just talked about it.
We did talk about that.
We did?
Yeah.
Yes. Even I paid attention to that.
I keep going in and out looking up trailers.
I keep going in and out too. Oh, yeah.
Joe, please shoot me. Please. Please.
Xbox is joining the $70 train with first-party games. Redfall, Starfield, and Forza Motorsport will all be priced at $69.99. It's, quote, to reflect the content, scale, and technical complexity of the games. I think they unique. Just want to charge more.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely what it is. And I think they're going to do that with more and more games so that they can up the price of the subscription service, too.
Because
they've already tried to up it and then got a lot of pushback. And they're going to be like, well, all the games cost more to make now.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to see Ultimate go to 20 a month instead of 15.
Just the things they say about why they need more money for this is silly to me. Because how much is a movie ticket?
That's a completely different medium, though.
Yes, that costs the exact same, if not more, to make. And yet is still fine.
I don't know.
The gaming market's significantly larger than the movie market these days, and they still act like they need more money. They wouldn't need more money if they weren't giving their CEOs like $30 million a fucking year and then another $30 million plus in fucking bonuses every goddamn year.
Yeah, but they have to get paid for, you know, sitting down in offices
and doing nothing but making their employees.
I mean, it's tough work, you know.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, all those butt blisters. Oh, those poor fucking bastards.
I mean, are you going to pick those butt blisters? Somebody's got to.
Hey, I am sure I can find a paddle. Okay. It's fine.
I'm drifting from the microphone.
I can't help it.
I like how you have two modes. It's either like on top of the microphone so that you're peaking, or it's like 20 feet away from it so we can't hear you.
I'm not even 20 feet away. I literally just turn my head. That's all it takes, is just turning my head to the side a little.
Why didn't you bring like a headset with you?
Because I don't have a headset.
Oh, gotta get you a headset. Jacob, send her one of your fucking 9 headsets that you don't use.
No. I'm using my headset right now.
How many others do you have?
I mean, I got the other black one that I reviewed. That gets used downstairs. I used that today for when I was streaming.
Ooh, fancy you.
I know.
Speaking of streaming, a game that Carnage liked to stream, Fuser is shutting down all live services on December 19th, as well as halting all sales of the game and DLC. So get it while you can.
I was really sad about that, but at the same time, you go online, it's fucking dead.
Yeah. Some more bad news. Hot Wheels Unleashed will not be coming to Game Pass this month. There's no reason for the change, but a lot of people think it has to do with its current deal with PlayStation Plus. So we'll find out. Pinball FX is hitting Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 in February. Pinball FX is also getting the Addams Family table, and it's going to have, they're going back to traditional pricing of their tables instead of like buying tables in game with currency, like virtual currency. You're just buying the tables from the storefront like you always did before. Their season pass or their pinball pass, which is the monthly subscription to most of the tables, is still going to be paid through their virtual currency. And then they're looking at having like almost 70 tables at launch.
Nice. That's a decent amount of tables for pinball fans.
A lot of fucking tables if you do the subscription. If you buy a la carte like me, that sucks.
Yeah.
I can't afford 70 tables.
Well, you just buy a couple every week like you do your fucking guitar songs for whatever the fuck the name of that game is.
Rock Band.
Rock Band, yes, that one. One of these days I'll remember. Maybe. Probably not.
Terrible. Last bit of news I have in Movie Watch News Brief Update 2022. Toe Jam and Earl is getting a movie adaptation from Amazon and Steph Curry's production company.
What's getting a
Toe
what?
Jam and Earl?
Yep.
The fuck is that? What? Fucking why?
Why not?
Isn't that like basically the Clerks just in outer space with aliens?
So what's the problem?
We already have that movie. We have
Clerks
two
in
of
outer
them,
space right? with aliens.
You don't need it to be in outer space. Or with well, they're kind of aliens.
I think we need it.
Oy vey.
All right. So what news do you two have? Anything?
Nada.
Jacob, any news? Or are we just going into reviews?
Hold on. Let me peruse the SML Facebook page.
Oh my god.
I forgot. All right. Hold on. Memes.
Isn't that all you have is just fucking memes?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, did you know gaming got a copyright strike for their video on Heroes of Hyrule?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's some bullshit. Nintendo.
Yep. Standard Nintendo bullshit.
And, like, they didn't even, I don't think they used any, like, footage that they couldn't, right? Didn't they clear
all that? I know
they said that their legal team is looking into how to address the situation, so they've got to have like their bases covered somewhat, you would think.
I honestly don't even know why anyone bothers to ever talk about fucking Nintendo anything, because Nintendo has this crazy tendency to get their panties suddenly in a bunch over fucking nothing and just screw a lot of people for no reason. I just wouldn't even cover them on anything. That's just the safe side.
Yeah, well. All right, should we get through reviews?
Hold on. Okay. I do have one more news thing. The director of Days Gone, who is now no longer with the company anyway, he blamed woke reviewers for the game's quote-unquote failures. Because apparently woke reviewers couldn't handle a macho guy riding a motorcycle as the game's protagonist.
I mean, but the woke group were the ones who ended up making it a fucking cult classic.
Maybe, but, you know, apparently woke reviewers can't handle, like, somebody staring at a girl's butt.
Well, that would be crazy, because I do that a lot.
We know. We know.
Hey, I have to have something nice to look at, okay?
I mean, you could look at Joe's face.
I said something nice to look at. No, no offense, Joe.
Rude.
No, honest. There's a difference.
I'm just staring.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I can't see you, so.
All right, you ready for reviews?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, first game to talk about tonight is called Swordship. developed by Digital Kingdom, published by Thunderful, released December 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. Swordship is a futuristic lightning-fast dodge-em-up which flips the script on the traditional arcade shooter. Turn both the tide of battle and enemies on themselves by dodging, weaving, and diving your way through an onslaught of enemies hell-bent on tearing your swordship apart. Jacob, what is going on in Swordship?
So with Swordship, this one is kind of like, imagine that, what was that Secret Agent game that I played a while back where it was like you're driving around in the car and it's not Spy Hunter, obviously. Shoot. I had it on the tip of my tongue earlier this evening, but anyways, so it's kind of like that game. Mixed with the dodge-em-up, kind of like Just Shapes and Beats. And when I initially saw it, I was like, oh, my kids are going to love this. Yeah, not so much. It's a little too challenging for them. But, you know, I still pressed on with it. And so what it is that in this game, you are this thing called a swordship, which is trying to, like, direct materials from, like, you know, essentially like from the rich people to the poor people, and you're acting kind of like a Robin Hood aspect of everything. And what you're trying to do is, I mean, it's like a it's as the game said, it's dodge them up. And so you're trying to turn the enemy weapons on themselves or just dodge them outright. And there's a number of ways of doing this. You can duck underneath the ships for a limited amount of time. Obviously, you can bounce around like the whole screen kind of, and so it's a lot of like getting your timing right, just trying to get like the enemy weapons to aim at each other or at least just hit one another, because sometimes like they'll have like scatter shots that hit like a wide area, and hopefully, you know, you can line it up so that an enemy ship is in in the correct path for it. And at the same time, you're also trying to pick up packages along the way. And these packages will give you bonuses and, you know, help you with stuff. And holy shit, this game is really challenging. Like, like I cannot stress that enough. It's a fun challenge that I found myself keep coming back to. But yeah, like these levels were hard to beat. The visuals are nice and bright. And a little distracting in my opinion, but again, it's also one of those like, you know, get good scrub kind of things. But yeah, like honestly, if you're looking for a challenge, like, you know, with a dodge 'em up, you know, this is actually a pretty cool title to check out.
Really dig the visuals in it. It's got like, what would you describe the visual style in this game? It's
kind of cel-shaded. Like, it's reminiscent of, like, I mean, it's not necessarily cel-shaded like Jet Set Radio, but
it's got a really good animated style to it. It's hard to explain exactly, but
just looks, yeah, and oh my god, I'm trying to friggin', oh my god, Agent Dodge up. Like, I'm trying to remember what the heck the name of the game was that I reviewed earlier. Oh my god. Because it's just like, it has like this, like a very Agent similar
intercept.
Believe so. Let me just,
this doesn't matter.
Yeah. It,
Swordship, yes, Agent is
$19.99. Agent Intercept. Very similar visuals to it. And that's actually like the title that I was thinking of earlier. It's very much like the reverse of it. So like, you're going to be coming towards the screen, which I did find a little bit disorienting, but again, that's part of the challenge though. So,
yeah.
But yeah, for $20, honestly, I mean, if you're looking for, understand that if you're looking for a relaxing game, this is not really going to be it. But, yeah. If you're looking for a good challenge, totally recommend it.
Cool. All right, next up, Castle Renovator, developed and published by Ultimate Games, released November 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $14.49. Build your own kingdom and customize it to your liking. Start on your own inherited piece of land, work as a craftsman to clean, repair, build, and decorate medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque buildings and castles. Visit beautiful locations, breathe new life into old rooms. As you know, hard work pays off, so maybe one day, will you become king? Jacob, you're not the king, are you?
No, I'm not the king yet.
Sure. Yet. Okay. Keep telling yourself that.
So, with this game, it seems to be heavily implied that you are a time traveler, or at least you're finding the leftovers of somebody who was a time traveler into this time period. Which means that you know how to read, which is kind of interesting, because then it's just like, well, if you knew how to read back then, you know, how is this working? But anyway, so you are tasked with rebuilding all of these different like medieval things. And so it's just like, you know, you have to rebuild a barn, or you have to like help somebody build a house, or like you have to clean up like this military's barracks. And eventually, like, you know, the projects get bigger and bigger. And you have like the stuff nearby to work with, but you're also trying to build up your own house. And what I found to be interesting, which was also a little bit of a hindrance, is that first off, if you are playing this on Xbox Series X, for the love of God, turn off HDR before you start playing this game. There is a known glitch that has, at least as of this morning for me, it has yet to be fixed. And it resulted in everything having a very reddish tint, which at first I was like, all right, this is an interesting design choice. But it also made everything incredibly hard to see. And so like the only time that you could actually like see what the heck you're doing is that you really had about 2 hours of daylight on either end, in the morning or evening, where you weren't just like groping in the dark for like, you know, trying to figure out what the heck you're supposed to be doing next. But currently the fix is to turn off HDR. And once I did that, I was like, oh, all right, there we go. Much better. The visuals are like, it's nothing to write home about. And for the love of God, the music like keeps playing on repeat, like ad nauseum. So you may want to like turn that, like, you know, honestly, I played the game on mute some of the times.
Just fire up Spotify and
yeah. Because there's also very little that you can actually mess with in the game settings, which I was really surprised with, which is how like I started initially wondering, like, you know, like what the heck's up with the game's visuals. And I ended up having to go on True Achievements, and people are like, yeah, we're all having this issue too. So that's how I found that out. But yeah, so it's just like, it's like a standard like sim renovator game. Like, you know, you run around, you get your materials, you build stuff, you fix stuff. You know, you collect, like, you get missions where, like, this is how much gold you're going to get. But a little bit of the fun for this game was there are, like, secrets, like, secret treasure chests for you to find. There's also documents left over that give the game a little bit of a story. But at the same time, it's just, I found it difficult to navigate. I mean, visual issues aside. As to what exactly to do next sometimes, especially with building stuff, because the game has very limited controls, and it's just like, I'd be like trying to put up a bunch of wooden planks and it'd be like, no, you can't do that here. And it's like, but you're telling me to build a wall. What else am I supposed to be building this wall with? Like, the game isn't very clear on its own stuff. And it's not bad. Like, it's not the greatest game in the world, but you know, honestly, if it was on sale, I'd say try it.
No, like, it's $15. So what are your thoughts?
Oh, 15's not bad for this game, though. I'm still in the try it area for it. Like, it's not the worst simulator game I've ever played, but it wasn't the best either. Like, it didn't knock it out of the park for me.
No. Well, if that one didn't do it, maybe the other one did, with Ship Graveyard Simulator, developed and published by Ultimate Games, released December 2nd on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $12.99. Visit the largest ship graveyard in the world, a dozen kilometers of beach filled with wrecks. Hundreds of ships wrecked on the coast, tons of steel. Choose the most valuable ship for you and start the adventure. Plays one of the workers during the most dangerous work in the world. Cut, hit, and weld. Jacob, what is going on in Ship Graveyard Simulator?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I picked, when you offered this game, I was like, what in the hell? They make simulator games out of anything.
They do.
They really do. And so I was
podcast like, so I watched simulator coming out 2024.
Hi, my name's Joe. Hi, I'm Jacob.
Joe, this is our podcast. We're going to talk about
we've been doing this for 7 years. We've made no money.
We're going to talk about Ship Graveyard Simulator on this episode of the Ship Graveyard Simulator podcast on Podcast Simulator 2024.
But first, Jacob, tell us but about first Ship some Graveyard Sonic, Simulator. But first, some Sonic the Hedgehog 3 news. Okay,
So Ship Graveyard Simulator. We should probably actually give them a review of this game.
Yeah, probably. So with this, as I said, this was a very unexpected thing, and I watched the trailer and I was just like, hell yeah, I'm gonna try out this weird ass simulator. Let's do it up. So you're in a very poverty stricken area of the world. I'm not exactly sure where. But you get to go out on these ships, and like the game walks you through it as to like, you have to hit each of these items, and like each of them has like a sweet spot. It'll make it easier for you to destroy it. You collect all your materials and then you bring it back to the local merchant, and the merchant doesn't always, like the price fluctuates per day. So like there might be a day where steel is really valuable, or it's not worth shit that day. And so it's just like, there is kind of like a commodities market tied in with it as well. But yeah, like, so you go onto these ships, like you rent them out for X amount of day where like you're the only one who gets to fuck around with it. And you just start like stripping it of all the stuff. Like you like take apart, like I don't want to call them handlebars, but like guardrails, like you take apart that, like you take apart like all sorts of metal stuff on the ships. You break down crates to see if you can find anything in there. Like if the ship's big enough, you can find like old crew quarters, and like maybe somebody left some shit in a locker, who knows. And so it's a lot of like, as I said, like breaking down stuff. Eventually you start picking locks. And you just keep going at it. You get better tools, you get a vehicle to help you get to and from all the different places, and you can eventually hire help to help like make it move a lot quicker. But of course, hiring help and upgrading your tools also eats into your profits, so you really have to manage that a lot. That being said, like, for what I was just like, for a game that I was like, ha ha ha, what is this? Like, it was surprisingly in depth and more accessible than most simulator games that I've played. And I really enjoyed that about it. I mean, it's also at the same time a fairly simple game to at least pick up and play. I would rather see that.
Then a lot of simulators come out and they're really complex to get into. There's just so many simulators that come out anymore that it's hard to find the good ones.
Yeah. And honestly, it's frustrating because so many of them to me, they feel like lazy PC ports.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they're made for people who are like staring in front of the monitor that is like a foot away from their face. Yeah. Meanwhile, this one was actually, I was pretty impressed with it. I mean, it's definitely not going to be for everyone, but in terms of like the simulators that I have played for this, honestly, I'd recommend it. I thought it was pretty fun.
Oh, well, $13. What's your official verdict?
Are you serious? Only 13?
$12.99. Yeah.
Go for it. Totally. That's great.
Cool. All right, that's it for you. Get the fuck out of here.
Woo! Was that Aki?
No, that was me.
Oh, okay.
I have like no voice, those, man. I have like nothing's going on anymore. My voice, it's just gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've got something that could coat your throat.
Next game to talk about. You have any final words, Jacob?
I was talking about cum.
Next game to talk about is the
Callisto. Joe.
Next game to talk about.
Cum.
Next game to talk about. Is he going to say it again? My thing is, I could just do this, and now he's out of the room. Next game to talk about is the Callisto Protocol, developed by Striking Distance Studios, published by Krafton, released December 2nd on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $69.99, Xbox One and PS4 for $59.99. In this narrative-driven third-person survival horror game set 300 years in the future, the player will take on the role of Jacob Lee, a victim of fate thrown into Black Iron Prison, a maximum security penitentiary located on Jupiter's moon Callisto. When inmates begin to transform into monstrous creatures, prison is thrown into chaos. To survive, Jacob must battle his way to safety to escape the Black Iron Prison while uncovering the dark and disturbing secrets buried beneath the surface of Callisto. Using a unique blend of shooting and close quarters combat, Jacob will need to adapt his tactics to combat the rapidly evolving creatures while scavenging to unlock new weapons, gear, and abilities to outrun the growing threat and escape the horrors of Jupiter's dead moon. Aki, what is going on in the Callisto Protocol after Vertically Impaired just dropped a gift sub to Havors? Tony, thank you for the gift sub, and thank you for being here. I want to give you a hug. You're so tiny and cute. Aki, what's going on in the Callisto Protocol?
Alrighty then. In this, you play as Jacob, thankfully not our Jacob, because then the game would suck.
Yeah, it
would. Yeah. And you are a pilot to a spaceship, and you're making a drop, I believe for the prison itself, actually. And you get boarded by a terrorist group who you try to jettison out the airlock because you are smart. I've never seen someone in the game try to actually jettison bad guys out of the airlock before. That is the right way to do things. Except for one of them is holding on to something and just blows out the window, and that causes you to crash. Then you and that individual are arrested. Them for being a terrorist who has, you know, warrants out for her arrest, and you for... because they can. And you are notified very clearly that, well, as far as everyone else is concerned, you're already dead. So they just feel like they can do whatever. You get this implant in the back of your neck, which is where your health bar is located, because obviously they couldn't make it down the spine because then it might be too close to Dead Space and they might get sued even though they made Dead Space. Fucking EA. Very soon after you get put into the actual prison, you wake up and shit is going down. Like, things are going bad for no reason. You don't know anything. So you go out of your cell because it's unlocked and you start exploring. You meet up with a really nice dude that I forgot the name of because he's not me, so I didn't care. And the two of you are like, okay, we're going to escape because he's been there forever and he has a plan. But he needs you since your door actually opened and his didn't. So he gives you a shiv. And it is a homemade shiv made out of a wrench. The handle has been whittled down into a spike. So it is a legitimate shiv, and I am so happy about that. Because usually they're like, oh, here's a shiv, and they just hand you a fucking knife. That's not a prison shiv, yo. But
I love that it's the important things you're concerned about.
Yeah, it's called authenticity, motherfucker. And you quickly run into people who have gone stark raving mad. And you have to kill the shit out of them. Originally, you do that with a pipe, and you very quickly switch that with a stun baton that electrifies them and knocks the shit out of them really hard. So that's great. Eventually get more weapons and stuff, and you're just trying to escape the prison. And very quickly, the people start turning into monsters. Very clearly, they become monsters. Like, there's heads that shoot out of pods and bite into you and start dragging you with an incredibly long neck towards the pod. They're not people no more, apparently. Because, you know, when that happens, I don't think you classify as a human being. And other types of monsters. And, you know, you don't know what the hell's going on. And that ends up being part of what you're trying to figure out as you're trying to escape. Because first things first, whilst it would be nice to know what's going on, I want to get the fuck out of here because this is no-no. Which, again, logical reasoning. I like this. This is a character I can get behind. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. And he knows bad shit's going down. Let's get the fuck out. Someone else can deal with this. Yes, please. Thank you. Throughout the time, you pick up a handful of weapons. There's, besides your pipe and then baton that replaces it, you get 5 guns that you get throughout the game. They're the standard ones, you know, pistol, shotgun, assault rifle, et cetera, et cetera. You have very limited capacity to hold things, especially at the very beginning. You have 6 slots to hold things in the beginning, which isn't enough, because every single one of the items you use to heal yourself, they don't stack. So each one takes up a space. Your ammo takes up a space, and that only stacks to a very small amount. It stacks to basically a clip or a little over a clip. And then you get, eventually you get your, basically your stasis ability from Dead Space. Well, it's your TK ability, not your stasis. It allows you to grab things, specifically enemies, to throw them into sharp, pointy things on walls.
Which is, it's really the draw. This game is the gory deaths and over-the-top brutalities. And
yeah, there are so many places where there's just the... basically, I think they're supposed to be rock crushers or something, but they're set up sideways instead of where you just drop the rocks into it and it crushes it. You throw them into it instead, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make sense, but you can throw enemies into that. They hit it. They explode into bits. And then after a couple seconds, it just starts raining blood everywhere. Oh, it's so great. And obviously your character has some brutal deaths. I did not see too many of them because I'm a shining golden god. I got every achievement in this game, including beating it on the hardest difficulty.
Holy
so
shit.
Yeah. And I did it in 2 days. So again, shiny golden god. This is,
hey kids.
Originally people were saying this was a 14-hour game because someone had a less play up about that. I think that's about right. I think it took me maybe 15, 16 hours would be my guess.
Nice.
And I was looking everywhere for everything because it does have upgrade benches in it occasionally, so you can upgrade your stun baton, your ability to block, your different weapons that you pick. They all have various upgrades through it. And you do that by selling stuff that you pick up, which also take up a slot and don't stack. So
inventory management is pain.
Garbage. There's, like, at the beginning, you have 6 spots. About halfway through the game, you get a new suit to wear, basically, a spacesuit instead of your prison suit. And it gives you double the space, and that's okay. That you can, if I had started with that, I would have been like, okay, this is more manageable because you're given a whole bunch of stuff and you can sell everything. Like, you can sell your health, the stuff that gives you health when you're on low health. You can sell your ammo. You can sell your TK, energy, battery things, and all the sellable stuff that is made specifically to just be sold. You can sell all of it. And that's typically what I did, just so I could have room to pick up more stuff and then bring it to the selling place to sell to try and buy upgrades. There's not enough to get all the upgrades, which drives me crazy. And there's no new game plus. I got like.
Well, didn't they say new game plus is going to be coming in the future?
I think that's part of the DLC.
That might be part of the season pass. But speaking of buying and selling, they are selling this game for $70 for the new gen version, $60 if you have last gen. What are your thoughts on the game?
I liked it. Lots of people aren't liking it for some reason, but I thought it was pretty enjoyable. It starts off really strong. It starts to peter out in the later half of the game. But overall, I thought it was really good. They do set it up for a second game, and who knows if that's going to happen. So I wish they wouldn't do shit like that.
You have to set up a sequel.
I guess. But they just went a little blatant about it. Never mind. I'm for it. I think I would go wait for a sale personally, because there's not a lot of hours to spend in this.
No.
Whilst it took me 15, 16 hours, that's because I was running back and forth, picking things up, running to the sell things, selling them, running back, picking things up, running back to the thing to sell shit and selling it, because there's not a lot of them. Once you pass certain areas, you can't go back. So I would pick up everything and just sell it. And that took periods of time. And there was a lot of times where I was trying to find a place to sell shit, only to find out I can't go back to the one that I was selling things at. Now I have to find a new one. And then playing through entire sections where there wasn't one. I was like, I have full inventory. I need to sell this shit. I think this is probably looking at like a 12-hour game for most people, especially if you're just running through. And that's really hard to be like, yeah, $70. I would wait for a sale. But I do think it's worth playing. It was really fun for me.
Well, sounds good. Next up is Hello Neighbor 2, developed by Eerie Guest and Tiny Build, published by Tiny Build, released December 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $39.99. Hello Neighbor 2 is a stealth horror game about digging up your creepy neighbor's secrets, but there's a twist. Each neighbor is controlled by advanced AI. Can you outsmart the neighbors and find out what they're hiding? Our friend Andy Sperry covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what Andy has to say. Have you ever wondered if your neighbors were hiding something? What about your entire town? Now's the time to become the investigative journalist you've always wanted to be. The newest addition to the Hello Neighbor franchise, Hello Neighbor 2. Hello Neighbor 2 follows the same design as its predecessors as a family-friendly horror game. Plays an investigative journalist within the small town of Ravenbrooks and work to uncover the secrets hidden deep within. Sneak your way through homes and businesses while solving puzzles and avoiding the inhabitants inside using an assortment of items, including video cameras, scissors, crowbars, and more. Scissors? Are you just going to stab a bitch? The townsfolk of Ravenbrook are all in on a secret, and they'll do anything to keep it from getting out, especially the antagonist from the original game, Mr. Peterson. Controlled by AI, the inhabitants learn from your movements, which makes the game increasingly difficult from chapter to chapter. Mixed with some light story elements and a few jump scares, the game was both challenging, fun, and a little spooky, overall in an enjoyable playthrough. Enjoyable as it was, I was met with some challenges and felt that a few areas of the game were left unpolished. A few minor controller issues and some buggy cutscenes were distracting but not game-breaking. The story was less than engaging, and often it was unclear what I was supposed to be doing and why. Not familiar with the first game, the puzzle seemed engaging and not too difficult, although repetitive with solve this combination or find this key to access this type of challenges. The areas and characters made things feel less repetitive, though, and overall I could see how the game was progressing. If you haven't already picked up this game, I would recommend doing so, but wait until a few issues are resolved and maybe for a sale. It's both a challenging and enjoyable game full of secrets and surprises. developed by Eerie Guest and Tiny Build, published by Tiny Build. The game released December 6th is a base game for $39.99 or deluxe edition for $59.99 and includes three DLCs. Give it a try for yourself and you will never trust your neighbors again. Sounds good. I like the Hello Neighbor games. They're fun. They're just creepy fun.
I never got into them. It's the... they just weren't for me, sadly.
Ah, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to reset my Zoom level on my email because I have it zoomed in because my eyes are failing me. And then we're going to move on to the next game.
That's part of being an old fart.
My throat is so shot. Oh, my God. Anyway, next game, The Last Days of Lazarus, developed by Grim Talon and Arcania Works, published by Grim Talon, released November 29th on Series X and S and PS5 for $19.99. Set in a post-Soviet Eastern Europe, The Last Days of Lazarus tells the story of a troubled man, long estranged, returning to his childhood home after his mother's death to spend some time with his sister, Ludmilla. But as the country around him seems to fall apart, so does reality itself, with a series of unexplainable events leading him on a quest to find out more about the family's disturbing past. Agi, you covered this one a while back. I checked it out on PS5. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us a quick recap while I take a drink and try to clear my throat.
Okay, this is a walking sim. There you go.
Shit, I thought I had more than 4 seconds.
No. This is very simply, it's a walking sim. It has some horror aspects of it, kind of, sort of, a little bit. It's not particularly scary.
I thought it was kind of creepy. I didn't find myself like outright scared, but there were a few moments that I kind of like felt my skin tingle and crawl, like the closer to the beginning where you take that first phone call and it zooms out and you see the one thing and it just kind of, like, I don't know, like I'm kind of getting goosebumps talking about it now. It just kind of like creeped me out a little bit. It didn't scare me. It was just like,
yeah, I only get creeped out when it's someone being creepy or if it's scary. I don't get creeped out moments otherwise, sadly.
I played this on PS5. I enjoy the fact that when developers put fun trophies and achievements in a game, like I was so happy when I tried petting the cat a second time and I got an achievement that's like enough. You know,
yeah, that was,
you got
that
shit was good, to do. Yeah. Like, play the game, stop petting cats.
And then you can't even try for a third time, sadly, because the game is really like, no.
No more kitty for you. No. Bad. Because, you know, they're right. If you had the option to keep petting that cat, you would keep petting that cat.
Yes, I would. I would pet that for as long as I could just to see if there was an achievement for, like, 100 pets or something.
Yeah. Especially if there's like a meow sound effect. Oh my. Visually, I thought the game had like the background scenery was nice. It felt alive. The town felt alive. I thought the characters themselves had that uncanny valley plasticky human look to them.
Totally.
That I don't dig that style.
But Diana was hot, wasn't she?
God.
Come on. She was hot, wasn't she?
Shut the hell up.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I thought it was a fairly entertaining adventure game. I don't think it was anything super complex. I didn't get that far into the game. I know you played it a lot longer than me. Did you have any thoughts going back on the game that you wanted to say the first time around?
No, I thought I liked it both times because I reviewed it when it originally came out on Steam, and then I reviewed it. Matter of fact, I may have done it three times. I may have done it on the Xbox 360 or the Xbox One and the Series X.
Jeez.
Yeah, I really like the game. I think it's interesting. There, all of the mysticism that's in it is really cool to me. Because part of learning about your character's father is, you know, he's a monk or something, or was a monk at some point. and they were in this weird order of monks, and you get to learn about them and see devices that they use that they created. And it's that chunk was like some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen in games. Sadly, that's not the entire game. I would love it if they expanded on that chunk, because that had so many cool visuals in it.
Well, it's a $20 game. What are your thoughts?
Yes, easily.
Cool. I can agree with you on that one. I wish the visuals didn't have that cheap plasticky look to it. That's my only real gripe with the game.
It just makes Diana's boobs shiny. It's fine.
One final game to discuss tonight is Back for Blood, the River of Blood expansion, developed by Turtle Rock Studios, published by Warner Brothers Games. Expansion 3 of the Season Pass released December 6th on all platforms for Back for Blood for $14.99. River of Blood features a brand new Act 6 story campaign, the enthralling 5-map mission, as players traveling upriver, stopping at different points along the way to collect supplies and defeat new enemies. Aki, what's going on in River of Blood?
Okay, there is a bunch in this update. I guess first we'll go over the fact that they have changed how melee weapons work slightly. Now they have upgrade materials too, so you can upgrade them at the beginning of every level with new items. There's stuff like every time you kill an enemy, you can get one health, or obviously in the higher versions of that upgrade, you can get 2, 3, I assume 4 or 5 at max, ones that give you, it does X percent more damage. I think I got a purple variant, which isn't the highest, I don't think. That was like 50% more damage. There's one that gives you more stagger, and each level of it is 25% more, which is pretty amazing on melee weapons, because they're what stagger things the best. So put that on Holly on a baseball bat, and everything's just going to be, every time you hit something, they're just going to be knocked around like a ragdoll, like a little bitch, which is fantastic. And there's a whole bunch of other upgrades for it. There's like 6 to 8 in total different upgrades for it, because there's 3 slots on all of the weapons. And you get a brand new character who is awesome. And her name is, I believe, is Tala. T-A-L-A, I believe. And she's cute. And she starts with a vector submachine gun and a bow and arrow. The bow and arrow has no limit to its arrow capacity. You just keep firing. It is technically considered both a melee weapon and a gun. So lots of the upgrade materials for melee weapons can be attached to the bow and arrow. It gets perks from both a number of the melee cards that you can equip to make your character stronger, as well as a handful of the gun ones too. So it's pretty awesome. I didn't find a lot of use for it personally. All of my builds really are for just hitting things, because I suck at this game. So I wait for things to get close to me, and then I just beat the shit out of them like a normal person does. Yeah. And with this update, they also added a whole new act to the end of the game. So now you have Act 6. It's basically a continuation from the last DLC, which changed up, I think it changed up Act 5. Maybe it added Act 5. I can't remember how many acts the game originally started with. I'm sorry to the devs, but it's been a long fucking time. Basically, in the Act 5, the last DLC, you learned about a cult, and you went to a prison, and you escaped from the prison trying to destroy this cult. Well, apparently in that, I don't remember this, but they tricked you, trapped you, and someone helped you get out, and it was Tala and her brother who did that. She managed to get out, and now and has joined you, and she's bringing you guys to one help destroy the cult because they have some new brand new weapon, and two, to get her brother out because he didn't get out. So that's what this entire act is about, is going and fucking up all their shit. And in this, every single level of this act is a completely new area. Unlike lots of the other acts where it's like, oh, this area, you're in this city. Oh, and in the very next part of this act, you're also in this city. And in this very next part of this act, you're just in a different part of the city. No, every different part of this is a completely different place. Like, one of them is you're in a television broadcast building. One, you're going through the suburbs, basically. Another one, you're in like a stadium. So every single one of these has a completely different look and feel to it. They've also added a new enemy that really, really, really sucks ass, called the Sentinel. There's three different versions of it. One version, it spawns a swarm of bugs that do a lot of damage to you constantly, and you can't destroy them unless you have a new weapon called the Flamethrower, which you can pick up. The only way to get rid of the bugs otherwise is by killing the thing that's the sentinel that spawned them. Another version of it throws explosives at you, and if it hits you with it, you drop ammo and your ammo explodes, doing damage if you're near it. So you lose ammo and take even more health loss on top of the massive health loss that you took from getting blown the fuck up in the first place. And I don't remember what the third one was because it wasn't anywhere near as bad as those two. Those two suck. What else is new in this? Oh, they added a brand new mode to the game that I didn't really play because it's a leaderboard mode. You get to choose how difficult you make it, and it's little short, like, four-part-long little things that you can play. You can determine how hard enemies are, how crappy your team is, etc., etc., and it's just basically see how high of a score you can get to be put on the leaderboard. It didn't interest me. I didn't play it, honestly. But it's pretty simple.
Yeah, so. Well, the DLC itself is $15 for this expansion, or it's part of the season pass. What's that? What is it, like 40 for the season pass?
It gets you the three.
I don't have the numbers in front of son of a... Let me open this window and... the price of the expansion. Expansion. Which is on sale, by the way. The annual pass is on sale right now for $17.99, down from $39.99. So it is it's even more affordable than usual. You could spend $15 for this pack, or you could spend $18 for the whole pass.
I'd buy the pass. Personally.
Yep, you got until Tuesday, so you got 3 days left. Your official verdict on this DLC?
I'm for it. I really enjoyed this, and they've made the cultists a little easier to kill too, which is nice, so that's cool.
Yay.
Yeah, fuck cultists. both for real life cultists and in game cultists, you all suck.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Aki, thanks to you for being here, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob for doing his thing. Big thanks to Oscar for coming on and chatting about the game, Wally and the Fantastic Predators. It is coming out later on this month on Xbox, but keep an eye out for it. We'll have a review next week. And we're almost done for the year. What do you think?
I could keep going.
Well, I can't. Fuck this shit. Do you have any final words?
Nah, I'll let you have them this time.
Fuck this shit. I'm done. Fair enough.